Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:41 Central African time, and that time of the morning where we join Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam, who is a member of parliament and he's also the leader of the NFP. And Alhamdulillah, Parliamentary Tunes is the name of the segment. Ahmed, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, very cool day. A little bit of rain in Durban, of course. That hasn't deterred our people from enjoying the sewage-filled ocean. I can't understand that. But there's so many of them. I cannot understand if they can only get that message loud and clear that there is reports on a daily basis on the sewage. In fact, particularly in the ocean and the rivers and things. So I'm not sure why these people would risk that and go and, in fact, yesterday, I can tell you the beachfront in Durban was extremely busy. And I see this morning there's already quite a gathering all over in the beach. But I guess people are attracted to the water. Yeah. Right, your donkey carts, Brother Shafat, has run out of trouble, run into trouble. I see the wheels have come off, broken down already.
That is in the Northwest province, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is not Limpopo, not with, I think one of them, yeah. Yeah, but 780,000 down the drain. Yeah, so we're not, in fact, when you were talking about that sewage, it was due to the treatment plant that have actually failed, and it seems like Itegwini is currently flooded. Now, I've had some reports of crime in the beachfront area, which I raised with the security company last night, who I found to be very defensive, until, of course, I got a message loud and clear to them. But strange enough, I found service that you never found before. And they even sent me all the videos of what they were doing last night in the areas that I regarded as hotspots. But I hope for their sake it's not going to be a one-off thing. Now, a 55-year-old Indian national, Brother Shepard, has been charged, has been arrested. He's been charged for apparently attempting to kidnap an 11-year-old child in Indonesia. And I can tell you with all leads that they have followed, they even identified the farm where this child was going to be kept, the safe house. They found cell phones, SIM cards, laptops, Range Rover. You see exactly how far this has gone. And the child that was kidnapped in Cape Town, there is still no news. And also there's no news of the Centurion businessman, Ranga, Brother Ranga, that has also been missing. So, you know, all indications are that kidnapping is on a serious rise in the country. And while there is breakthroughs being made, particularly by the Syrian and violent ground unit with the Hawks and others, it looks like what has happened is this, that these criminals have found this to be a lucrative business. And as such, there are many, many copycat kidnapping syndicates that are now operating all over. So, yeah, I see the West, particularly France and Germany, providing another 10 billion rand in loans. And, of course, President Cyril Ramaphosa seems to be praised with his just energy transition, which from one extreme of coal to the renewable energy, forgetting about all the hundreds of thousands of jobs that will be lost in the country, but also conflicting because his partner in crime, which is Minister Mantashe, says the opposite. There is no way we're going to be just going around closing these power stations. So, you know, it's same cabinet, conflicting stories. We really don't know what appears to be going on as far as they are concerned. Now, just a message to some of our people, particularly our little children. I'm told there was some lollipop, or you know, that was found in a school that has not been proven without doubt yet, have led to many children being admitted to hospital or went for treatment because they had stomach cramps and things of that. You know, it's called the X-Pop Energy Lollipop. Although I think the information on the packaging, it's not really an energy lollipop. It's just a marketing gimmick, if you call it. But very importantly, you know, something seems to have gone wayward there, and there is some investigation by the company and others, and the Department of Health is involved in that, trying to establish, you know, what might have been the cause of it. And, yeah, so those are just, well, of course, there's an outcry of Dali Mpopo receiving 13 million rand on the public protector case, but I think it's an unreasonable attack on him, Brother Shepherd, because he's a professional. And, you know, if you look at the amount of money that has been paid to the attorneys representing the public protector and many other counsel, and the money that we waste on legal fees in this country, and that is taxpayers' money, they don't raise much concern. So I think it's an unfair attack on him. 13 million rand, if you look at the amount of work that has been put in there at this point in time, I really don't think it's unreasonable. What I'm not satisfied with, the taxpayers have to foot the bill for this ongoing saga that is continuing. And yeah, so, you know, the you know what is strange I found, Brother Shafford? The top six that's going to the ANC. Did you notice something? Not a single person of color.
Besides that, there'll be no Zuma and no Mbeki there also.
No Zuma, no Mbeki, but no persons of color either.
Absolutely.
So over a period of time, it seems to be, our representation seems to be dwindling in the ANC. I don't think they need us. We've done the dirty work for them already, got them the liberation they wanted, took them to the position where they're laughing all the way to the bank. And now, of course, they don't know or want us anymore. They don't need us. They don't believe we can contribute. They forgot where they came from and the struggle and the contribution of particularly the other communities in, you know, bringing us to where we are today. There's plenty others to talk about, but I think with the short time that we have, can perhaps continue on some of these.
Yeah. What we can do, I mean, it's an ideal time to remind this, you know, the country that South Africa is now, a country that's becoming a dictatorship with a predominantly certain group, you know, actually bulldozing others out of the way. That Imam Harun's inquest has reopened, and he used to go to the locations in his area. And he was given a very unsavory term, you know, a bad nickname, which I can't repeat on a family radio station like this. And, you know, he gave his life for the struggle. But they tend to forget all this and other Timals. And you looked at, you know, Yusuf Dadu. Then Aswat, you know, he was put away in Soweto and so forth. Talk about it, Ahmed.
Yeah, it, you know, a very short sight. That is why I say some of these people have very short memories, you know. And, you know, for some reason or the other. But over a period of time, I've noticed many people have been observing and raising their concern, even when you talk about representation at all spheres of government. You find that those numbers of members of other racial groups in the country, not that I want to racialize it. However, I think that if this country belongs to all who live in it, and given what is happening by politicians currently, we need to ensure there is representation so people could represent the interest of their communities as well. And we noticed that in the last couple of elections, and the composition of representatives for parties in the National Assembly, NCOP, legislatures and things, when it comes to people of color, it seems to be, particularly with the ANC, who must not forget that the Indian community and particularly parts of the colored community and a very small percentage of the white community also played a pivotal role in the liberation. In fact, we were in the forefront, if you look at the Natal Indian Congress, UDF, Transvaal Indian Congress, many other institutions, and the roles that they played You know, even with the school that we built and contributed, and many of them that have benefited from it. So there's a whole lot that you can look, go back into history and look at the role of, particularly in this case, of the Indian community in the liberation of our people. So it's very unfortunate that despite us having so much of capacity, quality leaders, they are being left out, not even being considered. But I'm not surprised, Brother Shafat. You know, it is the electoral system in the country that gives rise to this. And, you know, it happens in all these political parties. If you are a minority, particularly, let me tell you what the interpretation of the other race groups are. They believe that the other race groups are ATM machines. You just come out there and dish out monies to them when they need you. You provide the taxis, transport for them, pay for those things, pay for the food, give them all those things. But when it comes to positioning themselves, there's no place for you. So they know when they need you, how to use you, and when that is done with, you know, there's no consideration for you at all. And that is the norm in the country. And I hope that our people will learn from this as well, you know. I mean, if you even look, just look at, brother, and I'm sorry I want to go to this particular issue of what is happening at the airports with our Muslim women with these scarves and things and how they're being treated and things like that. Have you ever heard any of these people coming to the defense of our people? And yet it is these are the people that were in the forefront, their families and extended families were in the forefront of fighting for freedom of religion, freedom of racism and everything in this country. But yeah, it is in full view of these people. You've never even heard of a comment from parties like the ANC and the others at this point in time. So what does it clearly tell you? That, you know, they use you when they have to and dump you when they have to. That's basically what it is all about. But I'm glad to say that we have taken up the matter. I have brought a motion in the House, which was approved last week. I have put a question to the minister, Fikile Mbalula, because Airports Company falls under transport. We are starting some kind of action to get answers from the Airports Company South Africa to deal with the constitutional rights of our people that are being violated. There is no doubt, absolutely no doubt, and this is not even open for discussion, the issue of the violation of the human rights of our people. There is no doubt that our Muslim women are being targeted. In fact, it's worse than we think it is. It's not a case only of that the women are being searched by women. Women are being searched by men as well. But what is clear, that when they see a Muslim woman, they have been programmed. The security at the airports have been programmed to go out there and pay special interest to the Muslim women that are going through it. And it's totally unacceptable, and I think we need to come out in our numbers and raise this issue so that we can deal with it appropriately.
Looking at the message on the screen, anonymous brother says, Assalamu alaikum. Shame on the ANC, shame on this government. I want to tell Ahmed that I was one of them that was affected by the insurrection, where my whole building, my whole wholesale was targeted and burned to the floor. And a year later, they haven't apologized. I lost everything. As you know how we Muslim business are run, we don't believe in interest and so forth. But Ahmed, I must tell you that it is these types of people that looted you, that can look at you in your face and with a smile and smirk tell you, yeah, we'll be coming for round two also. Ahmed, how do you respond to our brother there? I mean, he's making a powerful remark. Some may say he's sinister, but I don't think so. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Brother Shepherd, one thing you can pick up from what the brother is saying, how disillusioned, how unhappy he is about. And after all the contribution that you make to our liberation, the contribution that we currently make to society, whether it's in health, whether it's in education, whether it's in social welfare, you know, we are the very people, Brother Shafat, that feed the hungry, take a greater interest in them, while the rest of them are looting in this country. And they are there. It is the very same people that are feeding you. Is the hand you're coming and biting again. That is basically the message he's trying. That is why you can see he's so disappointed in what is happening because of his contribution to society. And who is there to defend them? Who is there to protect them? Now, who are the people that are coming and attacking you? It's the very same people that you went that extra mile for, gave jobs, provided them with food, shelter, you know, fought for them, lost our lives, lost our loved ones because of them. And the very same people are coming back. Now, some people, you know, will try to racialize it. It's a fact. If you look at what happened in the July unrest and the undue attack that went on to the community, Indian community, where they generalized, including that foolish minister of police that we got, who now admits that it had nothing to do with racism, more than it was more an act of criminality. You understand? But you can see how they've racialized it, because they want to target you. They are forgetting that the Indian community particularly, I want to say again and again, lived under shocking conditions, Brother Shafat. They lost all their properties, valuable land. Some of the most valuable land today are occupied by big monopoly capitalists and everybody else that belong to our people that were taken away forcefully by them. But look at the sacrifices our people made to be where they are, to achieve what they are. They didn't have it easy. They certainly didn't have it easy. They made great sacrifices. They built schools to educate their children. Some of the members in their families had to sacrifice, go and find a job with earning hardly anything so that the other siblings could survive and the family could you know, improve the quality of life that they were in. Look at the way our people lived on those farms. Paradise is what I call farms today compared to what it was during the days when our people first set foot here. What did our people, most of them came here with nothing, Brother Shepherd. They were even separated. The men were separated from the women here. So I must tell you that there was a lot of hardship, pain, suffering, bloodshed, you know, for our people to achieve what they've achieved. You understand? Why is it if you go anywhere in the world, and I want to repeat this, go anywhere in the world and give our people nothing, but give them a couple of years and they will turn it around with nothing. Yet today you're giving people everything, and with everything you're giving them, they can't turn anything around. They're going backward. So it is not the fault of our people that they are successful. Our success comes with hard work and sacrifice. Are we all willing to do that? No, we're not willing to do that. I gave an example previously, Brother Shafat, that if you don't find a, if you send every foreigner away from this country, you won't be able to have a haircut in South Africa. Now, I ask you, Brother Shafat, why would these brothers coming from Pakistan, India, all over, leave their mothers, fathers, children, leave their homes, friends, environment, everything, and come and work here to cut your hair? It must be lucrative. They must be earning a living, right? What stops our locals from going and cutting their hair? No, they don't want to go and cut their hair. This is the problem. So it's not like there's no opportunities. Difference is that when we have those opportunities, even if they're not there, we create those opportunities. We don't sit for handouts and think it's just going to fall from the sky. We're going to make the effort to be able. And that is why we achieve that success.
Point taken there, Ahmad. Looking at this message, it says, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, when Derrida was appointed to ESCOM, everyone said the savior had come. But subsequently, we noticed that Derrida is a rubber stamp for Cyril Ramaphosa, who is pushing forward the agenda of his masters, the West, where he wants a clean and greener energy, and he wants all those green dollars under his mattress. Ahmad, your response?
Well, the concern that we have is, and I think I've just spoken of this just energy transition. Now, there is a serious problem with that, Brother Shepard. You have a shortage of energy supply in the country. We can't dispute that. And I can tell you 10 years, that is what it will cost you to solve this problem if you start today. And every day that you don't, you delay starting it, it will go beyond the 10 years. That's the first point. The second point is this. You keep blaming Russia-Ukraine war. Nobody is talking about the benefits to South Africa with the Russian-Ukraine war. Just look at our coal exports. From 750 tons, Brother Shepherd, it's gone to about 4.5 million tons just from the Richards Bay terminal. So can you see exactly what is going on? There is benefits in it now. The whole of Europe, without this coal and gas, are going to be dark, finished. They're going to suffer. Are we not supposed to take advantage of that? Now, you are falling into the trap of these waves. Yes, I do understand we need to deal with global warming and things. But what is just energy transition? Not from one extreme to the other extreme overnight, gradually over a period of time. Now you have power stations that can provide you some energy, even though they're breaking down. You want to shut them down, make those towns into ghost towns, hundreds of thousands of people who lose their jobs, directly and indirectly, okay? And then you want to go to the other route. Everything that government has touched, and I'm sorry that I have to repeat this, everything that government has touched has turned to dust, not to gold, but to dust. So tell me, you think that is going to work? Is there any guarantee that it's going to work? But what should happen is this, and that's where Mantashe comes in, because he said the other day, no, if anybody believes that we're going to just shut those coal mines, they've got it wrong. So he's giving the opposite message of what his leader is saying. You know? So you know, the coal, we've got so much of coal deposits in this country. Many communities survive only as a result of that. Okay? And you want to go overnight and shut them all down and go to alternative energy. That alternative renewable energy supply that you're talking about, will it be able to sustain and meet the demand? And let's not look at the demands of today, Brother Shepherd, because that's the mistake we're making from what happened in 95, where we had a 30 million population to 60 million today. If this thing is going to really be effective in 10 years' time, then you need to look at what your population is going to be, which is increasing by 8% a year. What is it going to be like in 10 years' time? So you need to prepare. Is that energy that you're going to get from renewables? Experts are saying no. So you need a mix. But just to fall into the trap, and I think the brother's comments are correct to the extent that this is playing into the hand. There it is, Germany now and France want to give you more money, not giving you, lending you more money. Keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. You understand? When they can't pay at the moment, you're 4.7 trillion you're sitting with already. Okay? And it's going to create havoc in this country, which will affect your sovereignty, I promise you. There's going to be a fiscal cliff where you will not be able to meet your demand based on your revenue and your expenditure. Very importantly, look at the demands that be made by the public sector for wage increases. Look at the demand for basic income grant that they talk about. Look at the number of jobs that are being shed. Look at the number, the crime rate, how it is shooting up. Okay, take the socioeconomic conditions, the demand for more housing, more people, 8% increase in population every year. You understand? So we're not considering all those things. And I can tell you, we are heading for disaster unless you can make a complete turnaround. And that's where I say our people need to rise and come and be part of the solution. One day left, lost is one day too late.
Absolutely, mashallah, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Your parting words before I let you go?
Well, you know, my concern, Brother Shafat, first of all, is you know that there's another massive increase, I'm told, come for petrol prices. Prices in all your supermarkets and everything are shooting up right now. You can see it. You know, so we've also been advised that more and more people are getting into debt. I think I have spoken about this previously. And please be very, very careful about falling into debt. You know, if you're going to borrow and that you're not going to get income out of, but you're going to borrow just to sustain a higher standard of living, it's going to affect you because lenders are unscrupulous, and that is why we forbid interest. Because of the effects it has on society. And lenders will give you, even if you don't qualify for it, but when you don't pay, they're not going to be sympathetic to you. So let us be very, very mindful of that, but also be very careful about what is happening in the country with these kidnappings of particularly children. And I think very importantly, I want us to understand that a lot of what is happening as a result of people that are close to you that know too much about you, that are colluding with criminals, giving them information, you know, which is giving rise to the high levels of kidnapping in the country.
Ahmed, spot on as usual. Your hikmah, your wisdom, and your astute leadership comes to the fore. As George Galloway said, I like that man. And I tell you, I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a beautiful, lovely day ahead, Ahmed. Enjoy your methi bhaji with a roti roll and put some lime pickle there.
Brother Shafat, let me just tell you that before I go off the air, it's exactly what I had this morning, 10 minutes before I came on the air.
Wow.
Methi bhaji with mince. That's what I had this morning.
Too good. And you know, you sounded like a brand new Ford Mustang that you were talking to me. go well, Ahmed. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.